Good evening, everyone. I declare the General Council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We respect their elders past and present. I'll let everyone know that the audio of the meeting is recorded and becomes publicly available, apart from the confidential items. I ask elected members if they foreshadow any item of where they might have a conflict of interest in the agenda. Councillor Telfer?
I'm patron of the dog club and liaison to the Mitchell Park Community Centre, but that only creates at most a perceived interest.
Well, in my view, probably not even that, because you have those positions by virtue of your membership of council. So I don't see that as a problem. All right. Moving along, would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? That's moved. Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And do we have communications reports? No? Don't. Straight on to deputations. Right. Straight on to deputations. We have three, I believe, all in relation to what could overall be called the Mitchell Park proposed redevelopment. So looking at the list in front of me, I've got the South Adelaide Basketball Club first, and I believe that I know Bill Yeo is the president, but Mr. Simon Roman, is it Romaniuk? Yeah, Romaniuk is going to come forward and speak on behalf of the club for 5 minutes. So obviously it's an indoor stadium for various sports as part of the proposal, but basketball would undoubtedly feature. So over to you, Mr. Romanoff.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for the opportunity to address the Council today. On behalf of Basketball SA and the South Adelaide Basketball Club, thank you. South Adelaide Basketball Club is the largest, fastest growing district basketball club in South Australia, with the oldest, smallest stadium. We have two courts, with just one of them as regulation size. The stadium was built in 1965 and has been identified by Office of Rec and Sport back in 2012, by the City of Marion in 2015, and last year by Ernst & Young in an independent assessment as being past its end of life. In that facilities review of 2012, Rec and Sport identified a 60 court shortage in the southwestern region of South Australia. Despite being small, the runoffs around the court also are an issue. Emergency provisions are an issue, and plumbing and toilets are an issue as well, not always working as they should. We're obviously a gender equal sport, yet we can't provide decent change rooms for home and away teams for both men and women. In short, it's an embarrassment, really. For a club that has over 900 active members, we play back-to-back summer and winter seasons. We have a local competition that we administer called Domestic, which has over 350 players. And this has grown 35% this year off the back of 30% growth the previous year. We also run a schools competition called Mini Panthers with over 120 teams from local schools, and this is up from 35 teams in Term 1 last year. And we've dedicated a resource that engages directly with schools, running coaching clinics and recruiting new players to both the Mini Panthers and Domestic and the broader club. Last year we had to shorten the Mini Panthers games just so that we could fit them in Marion on a Tuesday, Wednesday. This year we have to actually move them out of the council area because we just physically don't have enough time and space for running all the games. We're putting about 2,000 people through Marion Stadium on an average week, and to accommodate all of our teams, we're hiring up to 11 external courts from approximately 8 different locations at a cost to the club of $150,000 per year. City of Marion recognised this issue back in 2015 and the Mitchell Park project was born. Feedback from Basketball SA at the time was that four courts was welcomed but would be soon swallowed up by the growth of the sport, and over the last 4 years this has definitely occurred. We really need a 6-court development as a minimum and to keep Marion for domestic schools and training purposes. South Adelaide Basketball Club is far bigger, I guess, than a lot of the other clubs that are associated with the Mitchell Park development, and therefore it really needs to be prioritised as such. Unfortunately, the land at Mitchell Park is constrained, so a greenfield site for a bigger development needs to be identified and pursued in the medium term. So we're thinking 5 years down the track, because we see the club doubling in size over the next 4 years. And that was my deputation.
Thank you, and you've left time for questions in case any of the elected members have any questions. Councillor Pryor.
What is your facilities strategy as Basketball SA going forwards?
So I'll talk on behalf of Phil, but so Basketball SA works hand in glove with the Office of Rec and Sport. Rec and Sport did a facilities review back in 2012, and as part of that identified the shortage and then identified certain stadiums that could be upgraded to start to soak up some of that demand. As part of that, there's been developments in Mount Barker, in Campbelltown, in Lights View, in St Clair, all of which have added around about 9 courts, which is treading water, really. Basketball SA unfortunately doesn't have the capital to be able to invest directly into new facilities, and relies on both state and federal government support to bring that infrastructure plan into place.
And just for clarification, so Mr. Romanok is here from the local club, so he might be familiar with the Basketball SA plans and so on, but he's not speaking on behalf of Basketball SA. Councillor Crossland, then Valescu, then Gard.
Thank you, Worship. 2 questions. In the report I've read, it says that 25% of the basketball players are from the City of Marion. Is that still the case, about 220?
We just had our latest, we're just coming in into winter, into summer season, so we haven't done an updated analysis on the membership, but absolutely, the main area is City of Marion by a long way.
And the second question was, you mentioned that the current facility was past its sell-by date, was needed replacing. That report was dated 2016. I believe we'd invested money and replaced the floor in the old facility, so it was usable.
The floor absolutely was, it was basically down to its last, there was wafer thin, you couldn't sand it back anymore without falling through it. The decision was made to re-floor so that it could be used for the short term until a more permanent sort of medium term solution was found. So as I said, we're using 11 external courts. Out of that, we know we're losing 2 courts at Westminster who have decided they're using the courts elsewhere. So, we're at the whim of those external court owners, and, we've lost, courts in the past to netball. Those 2 courts will still be needed, and that reflooring absolutely was required just to limp us through till we get a more sustainable solution.
Councillor Valescu.
Because of the
I understand. Yeah, I think, you know, from basketball's perspective, the more courts the better, obviously, because, you know, as I said, we're using 11 courts from 8 different locations. So if they're, the minimum for us really is 4. If it gets less than 4, then it really doesn't have much of an impact in terms of our management of courts for training and whatnot. So my understanding is the last, and it's all obviously all dependent on co-funding with whichever state or federal that comes on board. But you know, we really need at least 4 to limp us through in the short term to get a medium term solution, which would be ideally a Greenfields 6 court solution.
Councillor Gard.
No doubt basketball is a wonderful sport and it deserves better in the South. It's amazing that we haven't gotten there by now. I'm wondering if you have any sense as to, perhaps through Basketball SA, as to the government's feeling about the South, given the contributions that have been made elsewhere. And also, I was most interested to hear of your expectation of a doubling in size of participants by 2023. Would you put that, would you extrapolate that to the southern region? Let's just talk about the South, but the southern region at large, outside of your immediate participatory configurations?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what we've done differently over the last 2, 3, 4 years is engaged more directly with schools and given them an opportunity to participate through Mini Panthers, which has been very successful. We've also implemented a strategy which, you know, Victorian clubs do it really well, is a local competition that is administered by a district club. We call it domestic, and that's just exploded the number of numbers, the participation around the sport, particularly around, particularly male participation, and particularly in the under 10, 12, 14, 16 age groups. You know, that competition, they only have to train once a week. They don't, the fees are a lot lower, and they don't have to travel to Gawler and to Mount Barker like they do for districts. So it fits people's lives better, and it gives kids the opportunity to participate without that next level of commitment, both in time and financially. And that's just expanded the numbers so dramatically that, and it's good. I mean, it's good for the council. It's good for kids to have that extra opportunity to participate. And obviously, we're fast hitting up against the constraint of space and time of the courts that are available.
My first question regarding the mood of the government in relation to the South.
Yeah, I mean, Chris is probably better at reading the tea leaves than me. I've worked with government in many ways over many years, and trying to understand the reasons for doing things and not doing things and how it becomes a priority at certain times and not at others is, I can't guess as to why.
Yeah, really no need to speculate. Any other questions? Councillor Telfer.
How would Basketball South co-work with the current Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club and the Neighbourhood Centre that would be co-located there, and the Dog Club?
Sure. So we work with Basketball SA, who have extensive experience in managing and working in facilities which are either managed directly by them or managed by a third party that manages a multi-use facility, or is a school. Or so there's many different models that Basketball SA are very adept at working within, and the club itself hires the courts off Basketball SA, and Basketball SA manages that relationship directly with those multi-use partners. So I've no doubt that you know, whatever the model ends up being, Basketball SA would have experienced it previously and be able to deal with that.
If there aren't any more, I've got one. Mr. Emanet, we have seen some figures about an appropriate number of courts per X thousand of population, and in particular, I'm going on memory here, but maybe 6,500 or one court required for maybe 6,500, I think, was a figure which came from basketball promoting sources. I don't know if it was Basketball SA or a national sort of perspective from basketball. When I read the 2015 ACT sports facility report, they were using a figure of 10,000, or one court for 10,000 population, and that's to cover all court sports. And in 2016, the City of Sydney report happened to use the same figure. So, like one court for 10,000, either way would show a shortfall in City of Marion or the southwestern suburbs, depending on where you draw the boundaries. But are you qualified to sort of comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely an average participation rate for basketball and other court-based indoor sports. I think our experience is with actual participation numbers and number of teams and actual demand, and I think the participation rate that we're seeing is higher than that average, and you know, whether it's the, you know, the effect of all the Australians playing NBA, or whether it's the fact, you know, we're top five in the world in both men's and women's. You know, it's a sport that, you know, is at the Com Games, at Olympics, so it's quite visible and it's international. And whether that's driving that surge in participation, I can only guess. But we're not asking for courts we're not going to use. You know, these are courts we're actually hiring now. So for us, it's regaining certainty so that when a Westminster says we need two courts back, we don't have to cancel training, which is what we do currently.
Thank you. I'd invite you to take your place back in the gallery. And moving on to the next deputation we have scheduled. Now, just checking with Mr. Gumley from the club, you're sort of, in the end, do you want to come forward or... All right, yeah, please do. We have got you on the agenda, so please do. And the good thing about that, it also gives members a chance to ask any questions if they have questions about it. So, Mr. John Gumley, President of the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club.
Good evening, and thank you for allowing me some time tonight. My name's John Gumley. I'm the President of the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club. The Mitchell Park Cricket and Football Clubs have been playing on Mitchell Park Recreation Reserve since 1968, and the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club was formed in the mid-70s to oversee the use of the reserve where club rooms had recently been built by council. On the sporting side, we currently have approximately 800 players, officials, volunteers and supporters involved in our affiliated cricket, football, tennis and netball clubs, but with both senior and junior teams, most of whom either live in the area or were brought up in the area. On the community side, we have the Thursday morning men's breakfast program, which has recently been relocated from the Cumbria Court Community Centre, where there were 7 attendees, to now having almost 20 attendees each week, and it's increasing on a weekly basis. Other community uses are the 14 sessions held weekly by Step Into Life Personal Fitness with approximately 800 attendees. Friday afternoons we have the Emu Club. It's an Emu Club get-together where 50 mostly senior members are involved. We have two bridge days with 800 attendees, two bingo sessions aimed at seniors and disadvantaged in the area, committee meetings, AGMs and presentation days for the Adelaide and Suburban Cricket Association and the South Central Junior Cricket Association, which have over 1,000 members. We also have Sandville Junior Football umpire training with up to 80 participants. The Dover Gardens Dog Club is also on our on the reserve, as well as many other community members who use the reserve for a variety of purposes. Approximately 11 years ago, Council indicated they may be looking at refurbishing or upgrade of our facilities, and they were starting because they were starting to look a little bit outdated and needed a bit of a freshen up. Nothing has happened, but it was on I'm sure it was on the Council to-do list. Then about 4 years ago, it was announced that the South Adelaide Basketball Club, whose existing 60-year-old courts and facilities needed replacing, they may come to Mitchell Park with their 900 members as part of a major redevelopment of the site, but with some size constraints, we were grappling on how the provision of adequate nearby parking was going to be provided. That's where we're at the moment, waiting federal or state government to match council funding. I've had many discussions with both federal and state representatives, but I'm sure the council has as well, but as yet the light on the horizon is dimming. In the meantime, other local clubs, Edwardstown, Morfordville Park, Cove and Plimpton, have had significant refurbishments or redevelopments, and they weren't even on the drawing board, I'm sure, when Mitchell Park was thought about 11 years ago. So we're falling behind. We desperately need to get on with either the major development, including basketball and parking, or some smaller refurbishment, including upgrading of floor coverings and heating. We don't have any heating at the moment. Upgrade of our tennis and netball courts, as they are currently playing away from our site because the courts are not able to be used. We need the provision of female change rooms, storage rooms, upgrades of kitchens, and the list goes on. We feel that the Mitchell Park community is missing out on using a modern facility that is so badly needed. Thank you.
Well said. Any questions? Councillor Hull.
Thank you for coming along to address us. 11 years ago, I remember it well. I remember you being amongst the mix of the so-called grand plans.
And Councillor Hull, this is question time at the moment. Of course, you can come back
so
to that in debate.
You don't want me to ask questions?
I really would like you to ask a question. That's exactly the point of my interposition.
Right. Well, the question is, given what I started to talk about, and there's a whole lot more to the story about the lag in the time that your club's waited, can you understand that the basketball component seems to be the biggest stumbling block? That your club should be built by now. All of it should be done by now if it wasn't for the basketball that is a very late comer to this. BMX and all that's overtaken you. So would you understand tonight that I would actually vote against any basketball component in favour of getting on with the job of meeting the needs of your premises, which I remember you showing me through years ago?
So the question, Mr. Gumley, would you understand if Councillor Hull did that?
Yes, I'd completely understand that. We need to offer things for our community, whether it be football, cricket, basketball, or any of the other, getting away from the sport, and any of the other community needs that we need to supply. We need to make sure that what we do is the right thing. If basketball can find a greenfield site somewhere that suits them better than what we're able to provide at Mitchell Park with four courts, six at a pinch, if we can do that. I find that a little bit difficult. But if we can do that at Mitchell Park, that'd be great. It'd be great for us. We'll have a lot more people there. However, that may cause problems with some of the community groups that we have there as far as availability of rooms for their meetings and get-togethers and whatever else happens. So, ideally, I don't know if there is an ideal thing. We've just got to continue down the path. We need federal government funding to allow for the big thing to occur. If we just do something small at Mitchell Park, I'm not sure what the number will be, but it's going to be a heck of a lot less than than that, and it'll more than cater for what the sport and community needs at Mitchell Park will be. So I think that that would be good. But by the same token, I understand the South Adelaide Basketball Club, they need somewhere. That's been dragging on for them as well. And as was said earlier, you did invest some money redoing the floor and whatever else, so it's just becoming long overdue.
Let's go on with other questions. Councillor Valescu.
Would you prefer to collaborate with Basketball SA to have something on the site, or would you want to go it alone?
50-50. Basketball SA would be a great thing. It would, if our reserve would be used, or the hall area would be used much more. There'd be a lot more people around the place. It would make earning money for the clubs a lot easier. We also all need money to survive. However, I'd be concerned about the main constraint is parking. If we've got our 800 members, they've got their 800 or 900 members. I don't think the local community would be overly happy with car parking 3 or 4 blocks away. But by the same token, we still need to do what's right for the community.
Any other... Councillor Gard?
Mr Gomley, thanks again through the Chair for your representation. I'm very interested to know the club's own mood about the basketball option. I'm talking about members of the club, but also what sort of usage the club would get were basketball facilities to be developed there in terms of other sports, such as gymnastics. Do you have a view of that? And I guess in relation to the parking, I assume that when you say that how important a basketball facility would be to the community, that you have something in mind in the parking area.
I don't think that we'll be able to provide enough parking in the area. The only way to get parking is to take some green grassed areas out, and that's not on. I think that the mood within our club is that we probably would not prefer to have the South Adelaide Basketball Club come to us, but if they did, we would work with them to do what's necessary to make everything work. The basketball, if they get 4 or 6 courts, those courts are going to be used just about all the time, so there'll be no... I would not expect there'd be much room on those courts for volleyball or gymnastics or netball or whatever else, so there would be problems that would perhaps create. I hope I've answered your question.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr Gumley. I'll ask you to take the seat in the gallery and ask... I think we've got next, Mr. John Turner. Oh no, Mr. Adam Hay. Thank you. Please come forward. Yep. From the Mitchell Park Footy Club. Thank you.
Blue, white, yellow.
Good evening, and thank you very much for having me here tonight to discuss what's going on at Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club and also the Mitchell Park Football Club. My name's Adam Hay and I am the President of the Mitchell Park Football Club. I've been a member of the Mitchell Park Football Club for 28 years now. I'm also a life member, a past player with over 200 senior games under my belt. I'm also very compassionate and loyal towards this great club. Mitchell Park Football Club has had its challenges over the years. We're not going to deny that, as of most other clubs and volunteer-based organisations. But I address you here this evening with a sense of hope, pride and great enthusiasm, as not only have our senior members increased dramatically by more than 200% this season, but also significant interest in our junior football development program, a concentrated focus on Auskick with close ties to West Adelaide Football Club, and I am currently in discussions with Hamilton Senior College because they have an elite girls academy at their grounds, but their facilities are insufficient and we've offered ours, albeit meagre as they are. This increased interest of membership is a result of some great volunteer work in the off-season, a functioning and cohesive committee, a positive reflection on our 50th year last year through our advertising, marketing, past player support. But more members mean more revenue, which in turn creates more opportunity, but also inflicts more strain on a tiring establishment. This evening's focal point relates directly to the condition of the Mitchell Park Community Centre and associated grounds, as they have dilapidated considerably over the years. I'm not going to list these specifically, but if I may be blunt, the only significant changes to these aforementioned areas over the past 28 years since I've been directly associated, I'm not going to brag either, but it's the entry pergola of a veranda on the western elevation and the prominent scoreboard, both of which I built, at the club's expense with the assistance from our members, the newly established diversion from the Sturt Road wetlands to irrigate the oval, the newly installed evaporative air conditioning to club rooms. So that's four that significant, I suppose, changes to the club rooms in the last 28 years that I can recall. I feel this to be very minimalistic, whilst knowing that nearby clubs currently have or are undergoing. To be bold, the overall condition of these premises is not aligned with the current development plans, such as the Tonsley Precinct as an example. And I speak on behalf of all the football club's members. When will the proposed development commence? If not, what are the council's immediate plans to ensure the existing premises survive into the future and provide the sporting club a modern and safe environment to cater for the growing demographic in the local area? As a business owner myself, and with the support of like-minded members, supporters and sponsors, we look forward to continuing working closely with council to achieve a favourable outcome that will bring a fresh modern mark on the picturesque grounds of the Mitchell Park Sports Ground. I thank you for your time and happy to answer any questions.
Thanks very much. Any questions? Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you for coming to speak with us tonight. Just a question on how would an upgrade change the aspect of your club and impact on female participation growth, but also if basketball was to come to the site, how would that impact your club?
Okay. The upgrade would bring a new refreshed culture to the club. As it sits at the moment, you drive by, we've got derelict netball courts that have got tree roots coming through them. We've got landscaped areas that, you know, don't really look overly landscaped. It's not an attractive looking place. It's not attracting new members, especially female participants. And to touch on the female participant side, our change rooms, they're meagre, they're falling apart, toilet doors don't shut. Toilets don't flush at sometimes. Urinals are so outdated, stained, and albeit, you know, hands and knees scrubbing and so forth, it's just not coming up to scratch. So that's where we stand on that. And I think that if we were to improve, we'd certainly have a marketed improvement in terms of female participation. And the father of three daughters, they can't wait to get back out there, and that'd be fantastic.
And any specific comments on basketball coming into the area?
I see no reason why there shouldn't be another sport there, but I will align my comments with John's as well. With that mass amount of numbers coming into that small area, and I live two streets away from the club, the car parking would just be horrendous. You wouldn't be able to move. I think it would be a logistic nightmare.
Councillor Hull.
And ask you the same question as I asked the previous speaker. And you, if you've been there that long, you would remember the consultation we had down there with the master plan. There was no mention of basketball on that first occasion. And basically, as one of the users of that facility, would you rather see us just get on with it and live up to that original concept plan? And, you know, if basketball comes along later, so be it, if it would work on the site. But, you know, the question I have for you is, are you prepared to wait another 6 years for us to work through the possibility of basketball on the site or not?
Well, it's verging on an unfair loaded question because...
A biased chair.
Order. No, you won't say that about the chair, please. There is no suggestion anywhere in our documentation or discussions that suggests that if we don't approve the report tonight that it'll be another 6 years before the build. So, and I will clarify one thing further, because there have been a couple of comments made about the time that it's taken, and they're very legitimate grievances on behalf of Mr. Gumley and Mr. Hay about how long it's taken. But for the benefit of everyone in the gallery, I just want to make the point that the councillors before you now, 13 of us, order, that'll be addressed. The council here now, it can't be responsible for what happened 28 years ago. And the council here now can't even be responsible for what happened 11 years ago. And when Councillor Hull talks about an original plan or an earlier plan, we haven't even seen it. So all we can do is deal with what's before us. 3.5 years ago, we started on a process. We chucked out the old stuff because it hadn't been done. It was unachievable. And the last council endeavoured to get funding for something to happen there. Now we've got a new council again with four new members, and we're taking a fresh look at the project. Do we move ahead or not? So that's the context, and it is unfair to say, do you want this or to wait another 6 years? It is founded on a fallacy. If you want to ask a factual question, Councillor Hull, I really want you to, but go ahead. It's not about opinions, it's about you asking Mr. Hay a question or not. Would you like to comment, Mr. Hay?
I want the development to commence. This is taking a strain on the football club. Members will leave, you know, if the club doesn't come to scratch. You know, if we don't have heating, if we've got stained carpets and we don't have the sort of atmosphere that we can bring to the club, you know, scratched windows, you know, it's... The list goes on. We need something to happen, and I feel that it has drawn out too long. I understand there are changes in council, most definitely. You know, there's changes in all organisations. Plans change, but you know, I sit before you tonight. You know, I'm trying to push for something to happen. And if Basketball SA are involved, then all well and good. But something's got to happen.
Fair enough. That's a fair point. Councillor Vlescu.
Yes, my question is, how has your club been involved in any of the lobbying to try to get extra funding with some of the federal or state members of parliament at all, or is it you're basically increasing awareness of the need to upgrade these facilities, because obviously it is possibly some partnerships that might be needed, or is that...
Mr. Hay?
I have had discussions with John, with certain members of Parliament, and we have spoken about the development and how we can work together, and they will continue to do so until we get some form of action.
Very good. Councillor Vlescu.
Please, it's not meant to be loaded, but can you understand the attractiveness from those funding it from other levels of government? The broader the catchment, the broader the people, the more voters that are... affected, the more likely it's going to happen and the larger the contribution. So you can understand that the benefit for the standard of the facility, you know, that does make it more attractive for some of those other funding sources.
Yeah, Councillor, I have to warn you, that was turning into a bit of a Councillor Hull type question. But please, Mr. Hayne.
I understand.
Point of order, really. But are you going to take that, you're going to retract that, please? Like, you reflected on me. It was unnecessary. Thank you.
I understand that if we go to the broader, I suppose, Parliament side, lobbying for more, that's going to attract more fish to the pond, as well as, I suppose, like you mentioned, funding as well. But in my experience and working with government, that's only going to draw out the process even longer. There's going to be more decisions that need to go through certain levels to actually get us anywhere. So I think it would be a backward step. I'm not saying that Marion Council should fund this whole development, by all means no, but yeah, something needs to happen. Thank you.
All right, finally, any other questions? Then thank you, Mr. Hay. Please take your seat.
Thank you very much.
We've got the item to note a report about Mitchell Park on page 86 of the agenda. Because we have a number of interested people in the gallery, with your permission, members, we should perhaps deal with that now ahead of some other items. So if there's no objection, I'll go to page 86, and this is the community needs analysis in relation to Mitchell Park. Councillor Telfer.
I have an alternate motion with some extra words that not only notes the report but also takes from the body of the report some of the sentiments that are written in the report. So I had only just written that at 5 o'clock, so I hope members can...
Well, at least it's in writing, but if it's up on the screen, then if we
the
could...
The fact that I'm just putting it up, but...
Well, members can have a read of that while you're speaking to the motion, Councillor, so please go ahead.
Yes, over and above what's written there, which is the acknowledgement of the great number of potential partners, the economic and social benefit, and the preferred facility, I would like to put on record that we praise the 50 years of voluntary work from all of those clubs that have been mentioned tonight, and recognise that they're also doing it quite hard with the facilities that they've got. Over and above, in the report on page 95, I would emphasise some of the statistics that are there about the need in and around in the environs of Mitchell Park for accessible young families, affordability, social cohesion, disability access, the CIFA index, where Mitchell Park is lower and is significantly lower, and I acknowledge the work that's been done by our council, a group of the wellbeing people on impact of children 0 to 4 that are isolated in the district. I note also the building of community capacity. And I also have, with your forbearance, Mr. Mayor, a question to the neighbourhood centre, the wellbeing department, a question, because they are part of the neighbourhood
centre.
Yes,
you can use your speaking time to put that question to staff. A point of order.
The way that this is written is probably now out of order with the confidential item, and I move that if we're debating this, we really need to do the other one first, in confidence.
Well, the motion is in order, so I suppose after it's moved, there could be a procedural motion for it to be deferred until after the confidential item. I'm not going to accept that procedural motion while Councillor Telfer's midway through speaking. So I take account of the point of order, but I guide you that the appropriate... I'll give you the call after Councillor Telfer's finished her speaking opportunity.
So my three notes are part
order.
Of...
Is that a point of order on my left, Councillor Valescu? I think you're entering into debate rather than a purely procedural point. Well... At the moment, it's in order because it's related to the report. If people want to amend it, that's one thing. If people want to defer discussion of the whole item, that's another thing. So let's allow Councillor Telfer to finish having her say. I've said I'll take Councillor Crossland's procedural motion if he wishes to go ahead with that, and then Council can resolve that point. But Councillor Telfer, we're at the point where you were going to ask a question to staff.
Through you to staff, can I ask the neighbourhood centre people on how they feel about integrating into the Mitchell Park and Sports and Community Centre?
Right, so Ms Byrne is going to be the appropriate manager to come forward and address that point. So we'll just stop the clock until Ms Byrne's finished giving that answer. Thank you. Please go ahead, Ms Byrne.
Through the Chair, I believe and members would be excited about moving. And we have a very tiny neighbourhood centre currently. We're at capacity, we're overflowing, and we know that by moving into a new facility we would get the benefits for that and actually work more broadly with the community.
Back to you, Councillor Telfer.
Thank you. In closing, I would say that we have planned and worked and tried to go forward by integration of a whole group of clubs that are prepared to give and take. They have preferences, but they are prepared to work together. They are prepared to give and take. And I note the energy that goes into this whole area, and I commend what they're doing.
Now, just for the benefit of those in the gallery, we also have a confidential item on the agenda tonight concerning Mitchell Park. The reason it's confidential, it's pretty clear, is because there's commercial in confidence financial information in the report. So I've had a procedural motion foreshadowed from Councillor Crossland to finish this public item after we've dealt with that confidential item. So, Councillor Crossland, do you want to move that way?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I'll move that this matter be deferred until after the confidential item for the reasons I previously mentioned.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Schilling, there's no debate to it. Simply, or point of, we didn't get to that, Councillor Hull. So we've got a mover and a seconder to defer this item until after the confidential item on the agenda. I simply put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. Carried by majority. So it would make sense, I would suggest, to go straight to the confidential item, and following that, the very next item would be resumption of this motion. So let's go to the confidential item in the agenda. I have a cover report on page 31, and that lists a limited number of people who can be in the room while it's being discussed. I'm just going to get some advice from governance. So the motion, as recommended by staff, has that list of names in addition to elected members, and it's suggested to add the names of Craig Clark and Liz Byrne because they're connected to the subject matter. So does somebody want to move that confidentiality provision? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Gard. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So now, members of the public, I must ask you to
decamp out into the foyer or away. I have no idea about really how long it will be, but it could be between 10 minutes and 40 minutes. You're welcome to stay, you're welcome to go, it's up to you. We'll open the doors when the item's finished. Thank you.
Yeah, look, I think that trying to get a facility that is integrated, that does provide more opportunities, and the indoor facility, if that happens, then that will allow for other things as well as basketball. So we give the local community, the people that currently use the club, the families of the cricketers, the basketballers, the football players, opportunities to do other things as well as those sports, for example volleyball and other things that happen inside stadiums. So just, yeah.
I'd like to move an amendment. The amendment is the original suggested by staff that we note the report. I don't believe it is, because they both say no to the report.
I'm ruling that amendment out of order. I'll come back to you, though, if this motion is defeated, for you to move an alternative motion. Anyone else speaking against? Then I'll leave it to, I think, Councillor Telfer. Did you wish to add anything finally?
Essentially, I took the words from the actual report, except that I named basketballers, footballers, cricketers, dog trainers, fitness clients, neighbourhood hub participants and group social members and others. Otherwise, those words were the gist of the report in my mind. And number three is just noting the work that does go on with those groups.
I'm about to put the motion at the end of the debate. Is it really only a question, Councillor? Sorry, are you going back to the point of order that was ruled out? So, look, the time to challenge a ruling on a point of order is at the time. This is, we've closed the debate. It's not now the time to revisit the point of order. I'm happy to talk to you about it after the meeting about why your amendment would have been in direct contradiction. But briefly, Clause 2 in particular does talk about an option for a particular preferred facility development, and by excluding that, you are effectively voting against it. So I would recommend that you exercise your right to vote against the motion. And as I said, and it's often done this way, if there's an alternative motion and the first motion fails, you come back and look at the alternative motion. So it's not like you're being ruled out of an opportunity. It's up to the wisdom of the council. So I'll ask people to vote on clauses 1, 2 and 3 as up on the screen. All those in favour? 1, 2. All those against? The motion's carried by majority. Division's called by Councillor Crossland. So if you're voting in favour, please stand. May our councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Telfer and Gard just remain for a moment. Those against are Councillor Clancy, Hull, Schilling, Duncan and Crossland. You may sit down. Motions carried by majority. Thank you. So we can move on to the next item of business, and when the minutes come out, it'll be a bit clearer for the members of the public who have an interest in the outcome as far as
a little bit clearer, interested in improvement to the actual Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club. So I'll move on. We have the Local Government Association Ordinary General Meeting coming up. No suggested motions that we're aware of. So, and there's also an update to the schedule of delegations. Would someone like to move those two en bloc? Oh, Councillor Hunt?
That could be referred to the LGA. That's the matter of the building sites?
The building poles.
Yeah.
So... we could include the LGA reference in the motion when you get to move it?
As long as it's just timing or sequencing, really.
Oh, sorry, look, it is a bit messy because we have to talk about voting delegate, proxy delegate. Normally it's mayor, deputy mayor, but it doesn't have to be. Let's just deal with the LGA motion then. It's up on the screen. I'm prepared to be your delegate. Councillor Pfeiffer's prepared to be the proxy delegate. But it's up to someone to move. Councillor Pryor to move as printed.
Yeah, happy to move that way.
And Ms. McKenzie, you're saying that if there are later items that come up this meeting, that we can separately forward them to the LGA. So we can really take out clause 3, can't we? You're right, Councillor Pryor, we don't need it with a blank sign next to it. But we still need that 4 as the new number 3. Anything further, Councillor Pryor? Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy, bold move. Anything further, Councillor Clancy? No. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we deal with the delegations. Rather, this is the usual, perhaps, I don't think we've done it this term of council, have we? So perhaps someone like to give a brief summary, apart from myself, about why we do this. Very brief, thank you.
So through the chair, the way that the various legislations are all written is that the powers are vested in the council. The council then needs to delegate those powers and functions to the CEO, who will then sub-delegate down throughout the organisation. The way that we write the reports is we always revoke the previous delegations and then reinstate the new one, so it's very clear in regards to what has come in and out. So in regards to this report, I think there's two pieces of legislation, that have had revisions over the course of the last couple of months, and this is just providing the updates.
So, anyone to move? Question, Councillor Hull?
The issue of delegation props my question in regards to page 131 of the agenda. And a matter went to the LGA. It involved the New Start. It was a motion introduced by the city of Onkapringa in regards to New Start. Now, it's a bit confusing, but the numbers suggest that motion was lost, if you add the numbers up.
Councillor, we're now dealing with delegations within council.
Our council voted against it. Now, our delegate voted against it.
Sorry.
So I'm just pointing out the importance of actually getting the right people to be our delegate, because...
But you understand we're talking about administration.
the exercise of administrative actions. It's nothing to do with
the LGA's delegation.
We moved on. We voted on that. We've moved on.
Sorry, I thought we were still. I thought we'd actually broken that down. Sorry.
We had broken it down. We dealt with the LGI item. We're now dealing with administrative delegations.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't keeping pace with the agenda.
That's right.
Sorry.
Any further speakers? Oh, we haven't got a move yet, have we? What do you think? I should point out that if we don't allow these delegations, then this council of elected members has to decide all of those things listed in those 50-something pages. Councillor Pfeiffer to move. Fine, I've got some action. Councillor Schilling to second. Any further speakers? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Just a quick comment, if I could.
I didn't hear the vote. Before the vote, a quick comment, Councillor Hull.
Once again, whenever we delegate anything, whether it's the LGA or these delegations to the administration, I just want to get a commitment from the administration that if there's anything contentious that they're even borderline about, that they actually come back to us for some guidance on those delegations. So,
and the general managers are agreeing with that.
I take your point, Mayor Hannah. If we were to do
well, I'll order. Now put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we move on to page 70 of the agenda. Notice of intent to undertake an approach to market for the council-owned vineyards, of which there are three, essentially. So,
a question,
Councillor Hull?
The three vineyards, one is the Oaklands Road site that we all know, which are mainly Grenache wine grapes. The other one is Warrapringa, which are table grapes, and the others being the ones in the Oaklands wetland area, which are table grapes. Now,
yes,
they are they're two different markets, and I just wonder how we're going to actually capture that, because there is a market for wine grapes.
Yeah, I have raised this with administration, because you're really asking someone to look after a dog and a cat at the same time, very different creatures. But the thought was that if somebody wanted the benefit of cultivating and taking the wine grapes, that they may want to enter into some sort of arrangement for cultivation and care of the table grapes, which they don't necessarily want. That's the thought behind it, but Ms. Dixon can clarify.
Through the Chair, just to make clear, it will be an option. So the main purpose of this is to get a new management contract in place for the wine grapes on Oaklands Road, but we will test the market to see if there's any interest, but it won't be essential for the table grapes.
Okay, fair question. We hope that's the case, but if the expressions of interest don't come back with offers in relation to the table grapes, I think it's in the report there that administration will just go and pay for a contractor to do what they need to do. Councillor Hull?
Bit of move, Mr. Mayor. This is not the first time I've been involved in this, of course, because originally it was Hamilton's. Hamilton's gave the show away, by the way, because of a lack of response from the City of Marion. And I still have some sympathy for their position, because they flagged a number of issues, health and safety issues with using farming equipment in a public reserve where somebody could walk literally behind them. The issue of spraying. Any wine grape needs to be sprayed with fungicides from time to time. And it's problematic that the winemaker has to wait for suitable conditions to spray, otherwise it rolls across the road and into residential properties there. They wanted to put a stone wall around it to actually try and contain that spray and also limit the foot traffic. Reasonable suggestions, I thought, back then, and they wanted to put a small equipment shed there so they weren't continually taking equipment there and taking it away. But the treaties have managed to get on with it down there, so and they've done a good job. I think it's important for transparency that we do go out for tender on this. And it's an important, they are heritage listed grapes as well at Oaklands Road, correct me if I'm wrong. The other grapes may not be heritage listed. But look, we'll sort the wheat from the chaff. I think ultimately winemakers are pretty busy people, particularly this time of the year, and for them to actually take on two different patches of table grapes would probably be a big ask, but we'll wait for the outcome of the report. But let's see how we go. We could have anybody put their hand up to look after these grapes. They are over 100 years old. They have got some value in terms of wine merit, and we'll see what happens.
Councillor Valescu.
I just had a question. The current winery that runs these runs the grapes, we're making the wine, the Grenache grapes, that's Petrides. Now, Innes Petrides sits on the board of the Red House Gallery. I just wanted to clarify, that was a conflict at all in any way? I'm on that board as per my role on council.
Can't see how it's
related.
Right,
I just wanted to
really
check and have that on
separate,
the record.
Totally separate, yep, entities, okay, involved.
No problem.
Councillor Pryor,
just had a question. So,
another question.
The
Councillor
criteria
Leskie.
Which these tenders will be judged, I'm just wondering, that's something that the administration has put together, that no elected members have been informed of that?
I've had discussions, I discuss almost every potentially contentious item with administration. I've had a chat about the criteria, about why they are what they are, but I'll let Ms Dixon answer that.
Through the chair, so the broad criteria is actually included in the report on page 72. Administration will obviously apply weighting and do that assessment, and we'll bring a report back to council in April.
Thank you. I was just under the impression that they might have come before that. That's all. That's fine.
They were in the draft agenda. That's when I would have seen them. I don't think any elected member would have seen them before that. Councillor Pryor to second, or is that a question from Councillor? Councillor?
Second, it's okay.
Right.
I think my co-councillor covered.
Yeah, look, just in relation to the timing now, I note that the existing arrangement concludes on the 31st of March this year. The timing of it for wineries is not great. Like, this is right smack bang in the middle of vintage.
Just started vintage.
Is this reasonably realistic for us to expect a couple of wineries to actually put in a tender for something like this when it's literally the busiest month of the year for them?
Through the chair, we've obviously had discussions with the current operator, and they were aware of the timing. We didn't have any objections raised with that. The reason for this timing was also to see through this harvest that they've obviously managed the grapes up until in the last 12 months.
Look, Councillor Pfeiffer raises a good point. It's been a bit of a sorry story as far as administration's concerned. This should have come to council probably over 12 months ago, but the report just didn't get prepared in time before the end of the lease current at that time, so it was held over for a year basically, and now we're at death's door again in dealing with the issue. Ms Dixon, did you want to respond?
Through the chair, also we do have some flexibility should we get feedback through the tender process that applicants need more time, we can be flexible around that, and we would provide that opportunity to all applicants.
Okay. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thanks very much.